let's go. I'm just going to get into tonight's message. We can cover these announcements later. Say, the Lord is my portion. There's so much of what Trish shared in that scripture that was so good. I mean, it was awesome. But when she spoke that, what really jumped in my spirit was the Lord is my portion. And tonight, we're going to continue our series, our Wednesday series called Problems Are. And we're learning that problems are reminders that we need God's help. How many know we cannot do this alone? They're obstacles, but they are blessings. They're obstacles only for a short time, but they're blessings, they're lessons, they're everywhere, they're messages, and most of all, problems are solvable. Because life is full of problems, so we might as well take the right attitude, and rather than shrink back in fear and bury our talent, when a problem comes our way, you and I need to face it, and the way we face it determines our outcome. We need to face it with the proper attitude. And really, I think if we would just be determined and make up our minds that the Lord is my portion no matter what, it would help us a whole lot. As we're going through trials, as we're going through opportunities, maybe you're believing God for something tonight. Maybe you've got something that's facing you that just seems just huge and bigger than anything you've ever faced before. Say, the Lord is my portion. Say that. If we'll realize that, it's going to help us a whole lot. Now, we've been looking that we need to direct our perspective. We need to direct our priorities. We need to stay on the right path. We've been talking over the past couple of weeks about passion and patience. And tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about peace. There's four things that we need to realize: passion, patience, peace, and then persistence. And hopefully we'll get to persistence over the next couple of weeks and we can finish this series up and get into a new one. But we've talked about passion. We've talked about patience. We're not going to put these scriptures up, but over the past couple of weeks we looked in Isaiah. And Isaiah says, "Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Say, the Lord is my portion." Say it again. The Lord is my portion. See, we spend so much of our time spending time and money and talent and everything in our lives on the wrong things. And we found that out, that that'll mess up our passion. If we want to stay passionate for the Lord, we need to realize that what? The Lord is my portion. Say it again. Say, the Lord is my portion. If we would realize that God is enough, and listen, I want to say this as respectfully as I can, because I mean very well by it. If that doesn't make sense to us, we've never experienced the portion of the Lord. Doesn't mean that things don't hurt. Doesn't mean that things aren't rough sometimes. Doesn't mean that things aren't a challenge, because things are from time to time. But if we realize that the Lord is what we need, the Lord is my portion, I shall not lack. I shall not want. The young lions suffer hunger and want, but those who wait upon the Lord shall lack no good thing. If we would just be determined to get in his presence and allow his presence to direct our lives, we would live passion-filled lives. We talked last week about how we need patience. How many? No, patience is good. Say, the Lord is my portion. If we would be determined and make that decision that the Lord is my portion, it will help us in the area of patience so much. Because the other thing, everything else that happens in our lives externally is just stuff. But when we've got his presence in our lives, that's really what matters. That's what's important. We looked last week. Let's read this together, Colossians 1:11. He says that we could be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so we can be strengthened by the glorious power of God. Say, the Lord is my portion. No matter what we're facing, because God has qualified us through Jesus to be partakers of the inheritance. And we said last week, we need to just make up our minds to receive the inheritor's portion. We have an inheritance that cannot be defiled. Come on, somebody. We have an inheritance that God has reserved for us. And it's not, you know, the Bible says it's reserved in heaven. That doesn't mean we can't access it. How many know you don't need the promises of God in heaven? Help me out, somebody. Everything's there. I mean, Jesus is there. Father God is there. The promises of God, which are yes and amen, are for right now, bringing heaven to earth. We're going to start a series on Sunday over the, it's going to be about 3-4 weeks from now, but we're going to start a series on prayer, and we're going to title it Answered Prayer, Bringing Heaven to Earth. You and I need to live from a heavenly perspective and realize that when we live in the presence of God, we can have patience, we can receive the inheritance that God has for us. We can grow in patience by being with Jesus. We can grow patience by talking with Jesus, and we can grow patience by caring like Jesus. We need to learn how to believe, how to speak, and how to receive the inheritance. And just kind of a quick review there. But tonight I want to talk about peace. How many know, why does it seem sometimes like there's never a moment of peace? Anybody ever have a poor, maybe you're not feeling like that now, but maybe you've gone through a time in your life where you feel like there is just no peace. Come on, help me out. Anybody, and maybe you're not feeling that way now, but there's just no peace. It can feel that way, because I'll tell you, the times we live in, really life just has opportunities to steal your peace. But the times we live in are difficult times, especially if you don't know the Lord. The Bible says that in the day of Jesus' return, I believe we're very close, that they'll be eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and we'll just be on our own merry way. And people are living, and people are trying to be happy and chasing everything and trying to fulfill themselves in everything they can. I mean, we have a society that is just consumed with consumerism. We said that before, but we're living in a time, and it can steal your peace. As a Christian, I think some of the most miserable people in the world are Christians who are trying to get peace out of things, trying to get peace in a troubled time without allowing Jesus to be the center of that peace. Say this, say, the Lord is my portion. And we need to really get that. I want to read a couple of scriptures of a time that the Bible records in 2 Chronicles when there was no peace in the land, very similar to what we're living in now. It says 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5, I should say. It says, "And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands." So there was, say, no peace. So there was no peace whatsoever. And the reason that they had no peace, we're going to look at this tonight, and I think that really is the case today. Regardless of what the times are, we can be in troubled times, but we can know peace if we know the secret to getting our peace and where to get it from. 2 Chronicles 15:3, it says, "For a long time Israel has been without the true God." And there's a key right there. Your peace will be stolen from you if you are not worshiping the true God. Now, Christian, tonight you say, "Well, I love Jesus. I'm born again." But if you're not living a life where you're worshiping Him and making Him the center, let me help you out with this. And I'm probably going to say this more than once. You can take that down a minute. I'll probably say this more than once tonight. But whatever you think about is what you worship. Now, you can sometimes, I know, you're thinking about pizza because it's Wednesday night or hamburgers. Let's be realistic here. But the things, when you're facing a problem, when you're in a time where it's just you and God, and the thing that your mind just kind of starts to think about is what you worship. That is just the truth. And that's a good time to say, "Lord, where did that thought come from? I right now, I confess that my mind is wandering in an area where I'm worshiping and focusing on something that is not you," and just repent. But and then start to focus on the Lord. And I'll tell you, that's why reading Scripture, memorizing Scripture, being in the presence of God is so important, because then when, in our downtime, we automatically just go there. You've heard us say before so many times, you've got to have life Scriptures. We need life Scriptures. We need Scriptures that are meat to us. Scriptures that we just speak. I mean, you could be going through something. You might wake up in the middle of the night and just, bah! Something comes out. All right? We need, and you only get those by repetition of being in the presence of God, knowing the voice of the Lord, meditating on Scripture, and those kinds of things. But it says, for a long time, Israel had been without the true God, without teaching, and without law. But when they're troubled, they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and He sought Him. He was found by them. And I think so many people live this way. How many know God is faithful? Who believes that? God is faithful, and if you cry out for help, I believe He will help you. But you know what? It's time for us to stop living from crisis to crisis and start living from victory to victory. Help me out. I mean, and so many Christians, we just live from crisis to crisis because we just say, "Well, Lord, help me," and the Lord will help you. But many times He'll just kind of help you just to face that problem again. Come on, somebody. You know the pattern. All right? And what happens is we don't have peace when we don't worship the true God, when we don't have proper teaching, and when we're without the law. When we're without the Word of God and good teaching, that's why it's important not only to be at church, but to be plugged into a Relate small group. We'll be talking about that a lot on weekends. You're going to see some videos where we're videoing people that are telling you why it's important to be part of a small group. That's why it's important to read the Word of God, as we just said. That's why it's important to be part of a church that teaches the truth. Come on, somebody. There's a time where I think we need to move from deliverance to peace. comes a time when, as Christians, as disciples, we need to start doing things for the kingdom, not just looking for things from the kingdom. Help me out, somebody. You know, it's time to do things for the kingdom, not just look for things from the kingdom. Because, you know, how many know babies? I see Olivia back there with her newborn, beautiful baby, Imla. Babies, they just want to eat. They want to eat and eat. And it's just like, are you kidding me? All right. Always wanting something for me is a sign of spiritual immaturity. Facing our problems and realizing it's time for me to live in the kingdom and to be an extension of heaven and start to meet needs for others is a sign of maturity. Doesn't mean all your trials are going to go away, because they won't. I'm not going to lie to you. But they won't matter as much because you realize, look, this life is temporary. Come on, somebody. But the things which are eternal are the things that count. And if I'm living the way that we're teaching, if I'm living the way the Bible tells us to live, that's why Jesus said, to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's why. That's what that means. That means I'm consumed with what he wants for me in my life. I'm consumed with the will of the Lord. You say, well, I don't know the will of the Lord. Well, get consumed with finding out, and you will. It's true. You say, well, I know a little bit, but then I don't know everything else. Keep seeking him. Keep following him. Keep running after him. Keep pursuing him. Let's read on in verse 8 of the same chapter here. It says, and when King Asa heard the words of the prophecy of Oded, yeah, it's Oded, the prophet, he took courage. And, you know, the words of prophecy will encourage you. Do you know that? Words from the Bible will encourage you. He says he took courage to remove the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Now, it just said here that when he heard the words of the prophecy, he took courage and removed the abominable idols. Now, we said that our peace is going to be stolen when we're worshiping the wrong God. Tonight, I'm going to call on you to be courageous. Say, I am courageous. Say, the Lord is my portion. You're going to have to be courageous if you're going to tear down idols in your life. Things, listen carefully, things that you receive peace from instead of God. You're going to have to let go of some relationships. You're going to have to let go of some habits. You're going to have to let go of some things that bring, you're going to have to let go of your comfort food. Now, maybe not all of it. How many know what I'm saying? Okay, come on. Say, I just got to get me some macaroni and cheese and I'll be all right. What's that? Oh, you got to get me chocolate, yeah, and I'll be okay. I don't know what it is, all right? I don't know what it is. But it's going to take courage if you want to be set free from that. Tonight, if you want to continue to live in freedom, it takes to live as a Christian is going to take all the courage you can muster up and then some, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit. Help me out, somebody. Christianity is not for wimps, contrary to what some people think. I'll tell you what, true Christianity is not. True Christianity. I mean, anybody can go to church and not like everybody that's different than them. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a true Christian, living all out for Jesus Christ is going to take courage, because there's going to come times where he's going to ask you to bring some idols that can be removed. I mean, have the blessings of God or the things of God become an idol in my life? Am I seeking the giver or the gift? Am I seeking what he can give me, or am I seeking him because his presence is enough for me? Say, the Lord is my portion. What you think about is what you worship. In your downtime, when you have nothing going on, what you think about, where your mind wanders, is what you worship. Some of you worship an all-expenses-paid vacation in Hawaii. Now, there's nothing wrong with vacations in Hawaii. But if that's where your mind is constantly wandering and you don't worship a true God, your peace is going to be stolen from you at some point. It probably already is. Does that make sense to you? All right? 2 Chronicles 15, 12, it says, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Say, the Lord is my portion. Listen, if you want to get rid of some idols, if you want to make sure that you are free of any false worship, false religion, whatever you want to call it, you have got to seek God. I mean, seek God. You've got to be in the habit. Some of this stuff, I sound like a broken record, but I don't care. We got to be in the habit of seeking God, of laying down everything every day. Every day. I'm not saying you have to memorize the scripture every day, even though that's good. You may not even have to read your Bible every day, even though reading your Bible is good. But you better get in His presence every day. You better learn how to be sensitive to His Spirit. We said before, but I want to say it here again, knowing about God is not the same thing as knowing God. And I'm concerned that so many times we study and we look at the Word and we read stories and we even take notes in church. But when it comes to walking in the Spirit, we don't have a clue. And the only way you can get comfortable walking in the Spirit is to take time and to rest and to seek God and to remove distractions and to be with Him on a daily basis, that you're taking time to quiet things down and to say, God, I hunger for You. I thirst for You. Fill me to overflowing. There's nothing in this world that means more to me than You. And I mean it. I don't mean just say it. And maybe it's a struggle for you. Maybe you've never prayed like that. Well, start practicing that. I guarantee you something's going to happen. All right? You may not even get the things you think you need, but you're going to get the one that you do need, and that's Him. All right? It says that they entered a covenant. Tonight I'm asking you to be courageous and to make a covenant that you are going to seek God above all things. If you'll do that, you're going to have a whole lot more peace in your life. This stuff works. It really, really does. A covenant to seek the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul. Verse 15, it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with all their soul, and He was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. So here they were living in troubled times, and when they decided to look at the Word of God, the prophecies, which gave them courage to be able to denounce all the false idols, to be able to seek God, to get in God's presence, they found rest. When Asa restored worship, they had no war for 35 years. Here they were living in troublesome times. They restore worship, and for 35 years they have rest. How many know? That's good. That's good. Asa repaired the temple. Tonight, would you let Christ repair His temple? I think sometimes we got leaky temples. Wrong things leaking in, wrong things leaking out. Come on. It's time to fix it. Say, the Lord is my portion. And if you want rest, if you want peace, if you want troubled times to not trouble you anymore, you and I have got to get in the habit of making a covenant to seek God with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Now, let me just say this. The devil wants to dictate your schedule. He wants to make sure your schedule is dictated by him and the problems that you face so that you believe that you don't have time to seek God. That's what he does. I'm going to read this scripture. It's actually a prophecy, but it shows us the way the devil works. All right, this is out of Daniel chapter 7. This shows us the way the devil works, the way he operates. Daniel 7, 25, speaking of the Antichrist, it says that he will speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. The devil will speak words against God. He'll say, God is not big enough. He'll say, God cannot do this for you. God does not love you. God is angry at you. You messed up one too many times. God doesn't care about you. And then he'll persecute you. It says he'll change times and law. He wants to change times. He wants to get you under the law. I believe that what the devil wants to do is he wants to wear you out by worrying. His desire is to dictate your time, get you so busy you don't have time for God, and then to keep you under the law or works. And so what people do is people get under worry. They say they're too busy, and so we try to do some good things, and then our peace leaves us. Come on, is this speaking to anybody tonight? Come on. It doesn't work. And I know some of you sitting here tonight say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have time to seek the Lord. That's a lie. Yes, you do. 24/7. And we say, well, you don't understand my schedule, Pastor. You're right, I don't. 24/7. Everybody gets it. All right? What you're saying is your schedule is too big for God. You will not have peace with that mentality. I love you enough to just speak the truth. You got to figure out a way to get in his presence. You got to figure out a way to not let the devil dictate your time. Because, see, what we do is we worry, we get busy, so we don't spend time in the presence of God, and so we come to church, and we get prayed for, and so we figure, well, I did the right thing. I went to church. I got prayed for. That's it. But then we don't seek God, and so we don't get anything that lasts. Now, we should get prayer at church. How many know that's a good thing? I'm not saying that. But we've got to stop going through religious activities, putting ourselves under the law, believing that the things I did are going to produce this blessing. Now, what will produce a blessing is doing the one thing that we're talking about, which is seeking God. Say, the Lord is my portion. Because when you seek him above all things, it doesn't matter what you do or what you don't have. It doesn't matter if your schedule. And listen, again, sometimes we say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Listen, if that's you tonight, I mean this with all sincerity. Get a hold of me. Let's talk. I will talk to you about some times. I've even shared from this pulpit. I'm not going to get into them all. I have had as bad a schedule or maybe worse than you at some point in my Christian walk. All right? And Trish knows. She's been married to me for 25 years. I know what it's like to feel like you have no time. But you can do this. You and I can do this. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the pressures of life will attack our relationship with Jesus. The pressures of life will attack our relationship with Jesus. It's like I said earlier, I want to say it again. Where do I turn for peace? Am I turning to him for peace, or am I turning for comfort and peace from something else? Because pressures in life will cause us to turn to other things rather than him. We need to get in the habit of turning towards him. There can be pressures brought on by progress. Maybe you're believing God for a promotion. You get that promotion, you go, oh boy, now I got less time. Come on, somebody. You want to see what somebody's really made of? Give them a promotion or give them more money. Awful quiet in here. I think the pressure of choices sometimes can really overload us, the choices that we make. See, when we continue to live on this merry-go-round, if you will, of works, finding peace in other things, saying, okay, well, I got all this stuff here, so my life's okay, so I'm all right, I just keep on going. And never making time for God will get us into trouble. Get us into trouble. We talked about repairing the temple of God tonight, and I want to read a portion of Scripture. And even though this Scripture is dealing, I don't have it in my notes there, Zach, but I'm going to add this in just a minute. The context is primarily talking about sexual purity, but I want to take it a step further, because when you look at, and we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to read out of New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. And I really want to look at what he's talking about, because he's talking about more than sexual impurity, even though that's part of it. He's really talking about us allowing our life to really be lived in a way that we're not allowing our temple to be filled with Jesus. And we're running after a bunch of other things. It says, let's read verse 1 first of all. He says, when one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Now listen, if you're if you're using the court system, I am not saying you shouldn't use the court system. Understand what we're looking at here. Sometimes you have no choice. People leave you no choice. That's what we're looking at. What you see here is you see believers that Paul is talking to who are trying, listen carefully, Here we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, yet we still live carnal lives. We don't believe that the church, the Holy Spirit, God, the whole Godhead, everything God has set up for us, we don't believe that it's enough to give us peace, to give us joy, to give us rest, to give us all these things. And so we live carnal lives. I see it all the time. People know scriptures, but we live unspiritual. So, listen, you may sit here tonight, because I've heard people say, well, I don't have a problem with pornography. Well, when did pornography become the only problem? I'm serious, really. I'm serious. You can be carnal a whole lot of other ways. They were being carnal because they weren't allowing the Holy Spirit to really help them to judge. Is everybody with me? All right, let's read verse 7. I think that's it. Let me see verse 7. Yes, that's what I want. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Listen, because when you got to walk a spiritual life, you might have to take the low road. You might have to say, okay. But see, it's harder to do this. Remember I said if you want to get rid of some idols, you got to have courage tonight. Yep. Say courage.
Courage.
Say he is my portion. Say the Lord is my portion. To live a spiritual life, the Lord. This is heavy stuff tonight. This is me tonight. If you and I want to live a spiritual life, we have to live like this. We have to be willing to say, okay, I'll just let myself be cheated. Come on, somebody. Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. I'm speaking to somebody tonight. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery, or male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or thieves. You understand? And we want to say, well, I don't have a problem with homosexuality. I don't have a problem with pornography. Those are just a few things listed. How many are with me? But you cheat people. All you care about is getting your own way. You want to be right, and you will be right no matter what it costs. Come on, somebody, help me out. What's happening is we now are many times we are idolizing ourselves because we can get better results than God. Come on, somebody. You can't get better results than God. You might get results, but they won't be better than God's. You might get them quicker. But the Bible says that when patience has their work, what? We become complete, lacking what? Nothing. All right? Then he goes on and he says, some of you are greedy. You're drunkards. You're abusive. Some of you are abusive with your mouths. Whew. Let's just stand. Let's just let the Holy Spirit do something here. Now, anybody can slip up. I mean, things sometimes, I'm sorry. I said, you can say something, go apologize, get done with it. But I'm talking about abusive, constantly with your mouth. Speaking to somebody tonight, receive this. You think that your constant yelling is going to get you somewhere. What's happened is you, listen carefully, you are living a carnal life. You may be on your way to heaven. I'm not talking about that. But you are not getting the results that God has for you. You will not have peace. You wonder why your home has no peace? Because your mouth. That's why. He says, some of you are abusive, some of you cheat people, and listen to what he says, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, say once, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You say I am allowed to do anything, listen carefully, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. And that there's where the problem lies, is we have become slaves to the things that we worship. Does that make sense to you tonight? You worship what you think about. You worship what you think gets you results. Help me out. When you worship a false idol, you think that that false idol, let's just take it, you know, we think idols, we think, okay, that's the Tiki Wiki Uki Tuki tribe over there in Banawambumbobo somewhere, whatever, Kembuzo. I just make up names. And we think, you know, it's those wild headhunters. No, listen, idolatry at its root is worshiping something, expecting results. I just put it in plain English. But if you want to be a proper temple of the Lord, you need to realize that even though you're allowed to do anything, you cannot allow yourself to be a slave to anything. How can you know if you're a slave to something? When you face a crisis or a problem, what do you turn to? What's your first reaction? Where do you go for comfort? Some of you is Facebook or Twitter. Because you think, well, if I put enough stuff on there, I'll get some results and then I'll have some peace. Yeah, for about 32 seconds. Come on. Say, the Lord is my portion. John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. The unexpected complicates your plans. Let me just tell you that. It does. And the problems that we're unprepared for destroy our schedules. And so many times Christians are not prepared for problems. We need to prepare before the problem comes. Don't you think? Galatians 4:9. Let's read a couple more scriptures and we're going to have to wind it up tonight. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? And see, what we do is we put ourselves under bondage to carnal things. And the only way we can learn to walk in the Spirit. Help me out, somebody. Some of you know what I'm talking about, is to get used to the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is different than you are. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we can't know it. The Spirit is exactly the opposite, many times, of what you think. Think about it this way. In the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, give your money and you'll be taken care of. It's that backwards, if you will. We're the ones that are backwards. But do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's why he says to fast and pray. That's why he says to seek him so that you'll find him. It's not just studying. If I just study and say, okay, God time, boop, I'm punked out, and then we punch out, and then we have my time. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy some things. Enjoy a pizza. Okay? Enjoy a piece of chocolate. Don't eat the whole bag. Are you with me tonight? All right? But after we've been set free, what we do is I studied, okay, now I'm done, and so now I'll just go and I live. And some of you, you even do a real good job of it. Listen carefully. But something happens. You leave your church friends or church or whatever, and you're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You have this part of your life that nobody really sees. Now, I know what you're saying, but Pastor, I don't look at pornography. Let's forget about pornography for a while. Pornography is not good. All right? But I am so sick and tired of hearing about pornography being the only problem. Christians think, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't drink when somebody's looking, and I don't look at pornography, so I'm okay. No, you're not. Now you're proud. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Why can't you just be who you are all the time? Why? If you have this little thing that you just go to, and some of you, oh, please, if this is you tonight, repent. Do not get mad at me. Repent. Oh, this is the Spirit of God tonight. You better listen. Some of you have this little area of your life, and you have this group of friends even, and it's safe, and you don't look at pornography, and you got the whole sex thing under control. Okay. But you talk different. You may not swear. I'm not saying, but you're different. You sit different. You act different. Your attitude is different. You're carnal. And you want to know why your prayers are not effective? Do you want to know why you have no peace? You're carnal. But Pastor, Jesus died for me. I'm not saying you're not on your way to heaven. But you're sure not taking as many people with you. Repent. I mean, God already knows what you're doing anyway. What? And we're trying to develop a church, real people living real life with a real God, people that don't care. Because I don't care. If you got something in your life that's like that, get it out, for goodness sake. Don't bury it. Don't hide it. Listen carefully. The only thing that you will never be set free from is the thing that you bury and continually deny taking care of. You will never be free of it. You'll be a slave to it. You will be a slave to it. And things will get rough. You'll say, well, I memorized a few scriptures. I read the Bible. I went to church 5 times this week. But, man, I got to get to that group of friends. Now I can relax. Whew, now I can take a deep breath. I can talk the way I want to because I need this, man. You're carnal. And you're in trouble. And you're not being productive for the kingdom of heaven. And that's not a good place to live. And God wants you to repent tonight. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Can you be honest tonight? I mean, if the Holy Spirit's drawing you and you leave, oh my goodness, what is it you really think you want out of life anyway? This life has nothing for you. Okay? And you may think, well, what do people think? People look up to me spiritually. I don't care. People looked up to the Pharisees spiritually, and Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. I don't care. So if you're ready to be done with that ball and chain, stand up to your feet right now. Say, I'm done. Pastor, I'm done. Wow, thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of all of you. I'm so proud of you. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, we're going to just give a little time. I'm going to wait. There's still somebody. No, it's not me, Pastor. I'll take care of it later. No, you can take care of it right now. You're not going to take care of it later because you won't. And if you wait till later, you won't have the same freedom you can get tonight. I'm going to give you a couple more seconds. Thank you. Thank you. Say this. Say, the Lord is my portion. Say, the Lord is my portion. All right. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, whatever it is that you're, I want you to just confess it to the Lord right now. Whatever it is, it could be a group of friends. It could be smoking. It could be drinking. It could be food. I don't know what it is. It really doesn't matter. Whatever it is, confess it. Say, Jesus. I want everybody to pray this out loud. Say, Jesus, I ask you to give me the courage to put down. Now, on the count of three, I want you to all say what your problem is, and then it's just between you and God. 1, 2, 3, go. Say it. 1, 2, 3, say it. I'm going to do it again. 1, 2, 3, say it. Say, Jesus, I worship you. I denounce idolatry in my life. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to find someone to confess this to and hold me accountable who loves me and will help me stay free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a shout to God tonight. Amen. 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 I want to dismiss, but I'm telling you, I know that there's at least one more person. you're afraid of doing something in this service. Please don't leave this building without talking to someone. Please don't. Come find me. I'll pray with you. All right? All right. Come on out this weekend. Great service for you. So excited. We're going to be talking about small groups, relate groups, and so many things.